spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generations.
The eternal light. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations present The Eternal Light. This program is brought to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Our play today, adapted for radio by Joseph Mindell, is based on the story, The Miracle of Hoshana Rabbah, from the book The Old Country by Sholem Aleichem. Featured in the cast are Edgar Staley as Beryl and Alexander Scorby as the narrator.
I'm not talking now about the ordinary variety of miracle. No, this was a different kind of thing. It happened more than 50 years ago in the little town of Sobolivka. And when you have heard the story, you will agree with me. It was a most subtle miracle. The miracle occurred on a day propitious for miracles. It was Hoshana Rabbah, the seventh day of Sukkot, the Feast of Tabernacles, when accounts are cast up in heaven and the fate of every individual is decided. But aside from that, everything was as always in Sobolivka. The rich prospered, the poor grew poorer, and the train from Teplik was late as usual. From Teplik to Sobolivka was not far, but the locomotive was small and weary with age. It puffed and groaned and finally came to rest in the station with a sigh.
Station Sobolivka. There will be a short wait at Sobolivka.
Conductor, how short? Will there be time, for example, to have a bite at the counter over there?
If you'd read the timetable, which the company provides at great expense, you'd know.
The fact is, I have no timetable.
No timetable? Every passenger is given a timetable.
That may be so, but I'm not a passenger.
Then why do you care how long the train stops here?
Who said I cared? I'm only asking. How long does it?
1 hour and 32 minutes. Not a second more.
What? Why so long?
Because it says so in the timetable.
Excuse me. What are you doing there?
Can't you see? I'm uncoupling the locomotive from the train.
Why?
To take on more fuel and water, of course.
Tell me something. Does it take 1 hour and 32 minutes?
Listen, there's no use being impatient. The train will get you there on schedule.
Get me where?
Wherever you're going.
But I'm not going anyplace.
Then what business is it of yours?
Who said it was my business? I'm only asking.
And the little man with the questions clasped his hands behind his back and looked at the uncoupled locomotive, all unknowing of his part in the miracle of Hoshana Rabbah. He was called Beryl Essigmacher. Essig means vinegar, and his business was making vinegar, the best in the province. He inherited the business from his father, but he himself invented a machine, so he said, that gave the vinegar its distinctive and superior quality.
I'll tell you something else. If I only had the time, I could make enough vinegar to supply three counties. But why should I? I don't have to. I'm not that greedy.
That's the kind of man this Beryl Essigmacher was. Modest, without false notions, and with only one point of pride. He had studied nowhere, and yet he understood the workings of all kinds of machines and engines. Beryl himself explained how this came about.
It's a perfectly natural thing.
Well, why is it natural for a vinegar maker to understand about engines?
It's simple. You understand that the manufacture of vinegar is very much like the manufacture of whiskey.
Of course. They're both made in a distillery with a still.
That's right. And the still has almost the same machinery as, well, let's say, a locomotive.
Is that a fact?
Just consider for a minute. A still whistles, so does a locomotive. Where's the difference?
Oh, when you put it that way...
It's as plain as the nose on your face.
And so on that special day, Hoshana Rabbah, when the fate of all of us is finally and irrevocably sealed in heaven, Beryl Essigmacher stood on the platform of the Savolivka station and looked at the uncoupled locomotive. A restless passenger, a peasant traveling to the market at Hessin, stopped to look too. Seeing nothing unusual about the locomotive, he said to Beryl,
"Tell me, Yudko, what is there to stare at?"
"What do you mean, Yudko? My name is Berko."
"Let it be Berko. Tell me then, Berko, what are you looking at so seriously?"
"I am standing here, beholding the wonders of God."
"Oh.
Think, a simple thing like that. You turn one handle this way, another handle that way, and this huge machine moves off."
"How do you know that? How do you know that if you turn one handle this way, another the other way, the machine will start?"
"If I didn't know, would I have said so?"
"What do you know? How to eat potato pudding? But this is not a pudding."
"Maybe you'd like to climb up into the locomotive with me, Mr. Passenger. I'll teach you about engines."
"How can you teach me what you don't know?"
"I'll show you what makes these things move and what makes them stop. Only climb into the locomotive if you're not afraid."
"All right. All right, go, Helsko. Climb up."
"My name is not Hersko. My name is Berko."
"Let it be Berko. So climb up, Berko."
"What do you mean, climb up? Why should I climb up? You can go first, Mr. Passenger."
"You are the teacher, not I.
No,
lead the way."
"No, you must be the one."
They argued, they bickered, and finally they both climbed into the locomotive together. Beryl looked at the dozens of wheels and handles. Then he chose one and turned it slowly.
"The steam in a tea kettle makes the same noise, my fine teacher. We are still in the station."
I must have turned the handle the wrong way. Wait, you'll see."
"Oh, we are moving. Turn the other handle."
"What other handle?"
"The one that stops the locomotive, you fool."
But which one is it? Maybe this one."
"Well, we are going faster. Do something, Itko."
"My name is Berko. What is there to do? Pull the cord hanging near your shoulder. Go on, pull that cord."
What would you think if before your eyes a cow spread wings and rose over the treetops into the sky? Certainly. And that's how they felt at Sobolivka when the locomotive of its own accord, for no one had seen Beryl and the passenger climb into it, dashed madly out of the station. In great excitement, the station master shouted,
"Engineer, your locomotive is running away."
Not mine, station master. I bring the train to your station. From then on, it's your responsibility."
"What are you talking about? I have enough to do to watch the platform and the ticket office and the gates without worrying about your locomotive."
"Will the platform run away? You might better spend your time taking care of the engines you invite to your station."
"Listen, engineer, I have an idea. It's entirely possible that the fault is neither yours nor mine."
They sat down together and drew up a detailed report proving conclusively that the blame rested with the maintenance crew at Teplik, which placed in the hands of innocent engineers locomotives that ran away. Having thus disposed of first things first, they proceeded to do what had to be done.
"Telegraph operator, a message to the station of Zatkovitz. To the station master of Zatkovitz."
from Sabolovka. To the station master of Zatkovitz.
I'm listening.
Beware runaway locomotive.
What crazy nonsense is that? How does a locomotive run away?
Don't ask questions. Take action. What action can we take?
Our course is clear. We must take action, and we will. Telegraph operator, send messages to the station masters of Hasin, Golovanyevsko, Sabolovka.
Sabolovka? The locomotive came from there.
Don't quibble. This is an emergency. To all stations, beware runaway locomotive. Take action.
Telegrams flew back and forth. Every station wired every other station, and the news traveled quickly to every town and every hamlet. But it traveled the way a snowball travels down a hill, growing larger and more frightening in shape.
50 passengers left behind at Tobolevka.
And the locomotive?
Almost certainly wrecked.
Have you heard about the train wreck at Tobolevka?
How many victims?
I won't exaggerate. The truth is horrible enough. Only 50 passengers left alive.
Overturned carriages, shattered wheels, broken bodies, and blood everywhere.
Such innocent victims. And how did it happen?
How? All because of a runaway locomotive.
Fed by ignorance and curiosity, the gory rumors spread and flourished. But why should we believe them? We know the facts. And the fact is, the locomotive was still speeding down the tracks as if pushed by 10,000 evil spirits. The telegraph poles shimmered and flickered before Beryl's eyes like the spots you see when you're dizzy. Suddenly, he smote his forehead and said...
Ah! What a fool I am! The brave!
Stop! What are you trying to do?
Nothing, Mr. Passenger. I'm just trying to stop the engine.
May God help you if you ever touch anything on that machine again.
The brake...
If you do, I'll pick you up and throw you out of here so fast that you'll forget your name was ever Moscow.
Not Moscow. My name is Berko. Listen, this wheel is the brake. You give it a good turn, it comes pressing down on the other wheels and they stop turning.
You've turned enough things here already. And look where you're turning got us. If you touch that wheel, I'll touch you.
But, Mr. Passenger, don't you think that my life means as much to me as yours does to you?
Your life. What good is your life? A dog like you.
In the first place, even if I were a dog, you ought to feel sorry for me.
I'm not in the least sorry for you.
And in the second place, in the eyes of the Almighty, in what way is my life any less important than any other life? Are we not alike? Do we not have the same pedigree? Are not all of us going to the same identical place, the rich black earth?
But who wants to go ahead of his time?
And thirdly, look at the difference between you and me. I am doing everything I can to make the locomotive stop. That is, I have the welfare of both of us in mind. But you are ready to throw me out of here. That is, to murder a human being.
There in the flying locomotive, Beryl delivered a sermon, complete with quotations and examples. In the midst of the lofty discourse, the station of Zatkovitz suddenly came into view. Beryl and the passenger waved their hands wildly. The station master waved back. Then the locomotive flew past on its way to Hessen. The telegraph instruments began to click and clatter as if they were possessed.
This instant locomotive flew past Zatkovitz with blinding speed. Stop. Two passengers stopped. Both waved their hands. Stop. What does it mean?
The old rumors vanished like snowflakes on a hot stove. Here was a new mystery. What were two men doing on a runaway locomotive? And who were they? Did anyone know?
What a question. Of course I know. One is Beryl Esigmacher of Zabolivka.
Well, how do you know that?
Well, how does one know anything? I know.
Did you hear that Beryl Esigmacher jumped on a runaway locomotive?
What for?
Who knows? He must be crazy.
So Beryl fought with the crazy lunatic to try to stop the locomotive.
He's a real hero.
A hero beyond doubt. But the question is,
A living hero or a dead one?
The talking and the shouting went on so long that soon the story reached Sobolevka. All Sobolevka came pouring into the railroad station, and all Sobolevka talked at once. There was so much noise and disorder, you would have thought a legislature was in session. Finally, the station master could stand it no longer. He shouted,
"Guard, clear the station."
"Yes, sir."
"Go about your business, all you people. Scatter, disperse. You're obstructing the platform."
"It's so noisy, a man can't think."
"The train from Hasin to Sobolevka.
Where is it?" "Telegraph operator, where is the train?"
"It's coming, it's coming. It's coming here on schedule, station master. Right now it's between Hysene and Zatkovitz."
"Oh, may heaven help us."
"What do you mean?"
"The runaway locomotive is on the same single track between Zatkovitz and Hysene."
"Be reasonable. Just a few turns of this wheel."
"Take your hand away from that wheel. Tell me, Lebko."
"My name is not Lebko, it's Berko."
"All right, let it be Berko. Tell me, Berko, would you be willing to jump off this locomotive with me?"
"What? We could get killed."
"We are going to get killed anyway."
"Where was that decided? What proof do you have?" "If God wants to, oh, what he can do."
"What do you think he'll do?"
"Well, that depends on him. Listen, I'll tell you something. Today we Jews have a sort of holiday, Hoshana Rabo."
"What kind of holiday?"
"Today, up in heaven, every human being, every little thing, gets a certificate signed and sealed. A certificate of life and death."
"Where is that cherub with the Sobolevka certificates?"
"Here they are. I had to bring them from the main office."
"Oh, you'd think an angel had forever to do this job. Only one day is allowed, you know. Here, help me put the seals on the certificates."
"Excuse me, here are two incomplete certificates."
"Incomplete?"
"Yes. The fate is not marked down, whether life or death."
"Take them back to the main office. Whose certificates are they?"
"One belongs to a passenger on a train."
"And the other?"
"The other belongs to a certain Essigmacher. Berl Essigmacher."
"If I'm marked down for death, nothing I can do. What difference does it make to me if I'm killed jumping off the locomotive or standing in the locomotive?"
"Then jump and end it quickly."
"But if it was written that I should go on living, then why should I jump?" "It's logic."
Logic. Your logic is bringing us both to an untimely end."
Beryl was silent, and the locomotive sped past Zatkovitz to Hasin. Far away on the same track, the train from Hasin came toward Zatkovitz, unaware of what lay before it. The conductor punched tickets, the engineer blew the whistle to frighten the cow from the tracks, and the poor innocent passengers dozed peacefully, unaware of the obstacle in their path. But at Sobolevka, everyone knew what was in store.
"Oh, what a collision it'll be. Engineer, do something."
"What do you want me to do, station master? Put on wings and fly after the locomotive?"
"Don't ask me. It's a technical matter for engineers."
"Then I'll explain in technical language. When a locomotive runs away, an engineer is of no use. You need an angel."
But where do you find an angel? Among mortal beings, only one man could do anything. At least, he thought he could. That was Beryl, and he was not permitted. He stood in the locomotive and looked at the fields rushing by.
"Mr. Passenger, tell me, what happens when two trains on the same track speed toward each other?"
"Any fool can tell you that. There will be a collision." "May God have mercy on us. The train from Hasin."
"That's good logic."
"Oh, the devil take your logic.
That's too gloomy.
Then here's a piece of cheerful logic. This locomotive of ours will stop.
The locomotive will stop? Mm-hmm. Ah, blessings on your logic. A wonderful logic.
When will it stop? Before the collision or after?
That I can't tell. If before, then you have nothing to worry about.
But if not...
Well, then it's clear there will be an explosion. Your bones will be shattered. Your body scalded by hot steam and you yourself... But if you'd let me turn the brakes...
No, no. I see it all now. This logic is a scheme to confuse me. If you so much as put a finger on the wheel, your skull...
My name is Berko.
Let it be Berko, but I... A problem in logic. The telegraph ports are not so close together now. The locomotive is slowing down. It's stopping.
Of course.
It's a miracle.
It's nothing of the kind. It's a perfectly natural thing.
Ah, you and your logic. I tell you, Berko, it's a miracle. A real miracle.
And that's what the people of Sobolivka said when they heard the story. But Beryl was stubborn.
It was a perfectly natural thing.
What do you mean, natural?
I mean natural. The fire went out.
And if the fire went out?
When the fire in the locomotive goes out, the water stops boiling. And when the water stops boiling, well, you don't have to be a vinegar maker to understand that the wheels stop turning. And that's all there is to it.
Listen, Beryl, that you should ride in a runaway locomotive, that you should still be alive to walk on your own two legs and tell the story with your own lips, that, Beryl, is a miracle.
Now, Sobolivka was not wrong, yet Beryl was undeniably right. Then where is the miracle I promised? I will explain it. The fire went out. The locomotive stopped. True. But why did the fire go out when it did? There's the wonder. For what is a miracle if not a revelation of heaven's intentions? And Beryl's adventure was just such a revelation. It was as if on that Hoshana Rabu, a voice said clear and loud,
Beryl Essigmacher? He is to stay on Earth a while longer to manufacture vinegar.
And that, dear listener, that was the miracle. That day was Hoshana Rabu. And soon came Simchas Torah, a day of rejoicing. The congregation of Sobolivka sang joyfully and danced on the floor of the synagogue. And a portion of their joy was for the miracle they had witnessed. For it was a pleasing and most subtle miracle that happened in Sobolivka on Hoshana Rabu.
If you would like a copy of the script you've just heard, you may obtain one without cost by writing to The Eternal Light, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. And now we present a brief talk by Rabbi Samuel M. Siegel of Mount Nebo Congregation, New York City. Rabbi Siegel.
Little did the people of Sobolivka suspect that the barrel-driven locomotive speeding through time and space would be responsible for the miracle of Hoshana Rabu. In the heavenly court, it was decided long ago that only a simple good man can ever be eligible to play a role in the making of miracles on earth. The records stored in the celestial files indicate and prove that in each generation, an inquisitive barrel appears who delights in asking, who makes time fly? What causes engines to run? Why should the pulling of a lever change motion into locomotion? According to the calculations of the wise men of Sobolivka, It is time for Beryl to appear again. In various railroad stations of the post-war world, displaced persons are already waiting for a runaway engine to stop and rest. The Jewish wanderers from the pogrom-ridden countries of Europe yearn for an old locomotive to start again and only rest in Palestine. They remember what wonders and miracles God wrought for the Israelites in days gone by. They hallow the names of saints, prophets, and the pious who performed miracles which saved them from destruction. They hear people above exclaiming, "The survival of the Jew is one of the greatest miracles." Just as the Holy Ark, according to Jewish tradition, stood miraculously in the temple, so this remnant of Israel miraculously keeps its rendezvous with life. O Lord, they cry, give us a miracle for this Hoshana Rabbah. Only a spark appears in every lonely station. The spark releases spiritual energy. It builds a community of love. It restores ruined hospitals and damaged schools. It clears shambled roads. It banishes silence. It talks of peace. It demands protection for minorities. It prophesies the parliament of man. It is the mysterious voice at the table of the United Nations, insisting upon all human rights. It banishes evil from the hearts of men. It binds people and nations together. It is miraculously released from the human heart through love and fear of God. It is the atomic bond. It is the miracle of miracles that will bind the peace, keep the peace in the Sukkoth Shalom, the tent of peace. It will be the miracle of Hoshana Rabbah.
Thank you, Rabbi Siegel. The Eternal Light program you have just heard was adapted for radio by Joseph Mindell and was based on the story The Miracle of Hoshana Rabbah from the book The Old Country by Sholem Aleichem. The music was composed by Morris Mamorsky and conducted by Milton Catins. Liturgical music was sung by cantor Robert H. Siegel. Featured in the cast were Edgar Sadie as Beryl and Alexander Scorby as the narrator. The entire production was under the direction of Frank Papp. If you would like a free copy of the script, write to The Eternal Light, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. This program is a weekly presentation of the National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent station, and comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.